Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Tuesday, the 20th of April, recording at 9:40 p.m. And that's British Summer Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today. The Asian stock markets were mostly a bit firmer, particularly the food exporters such as Indonesia, Malaysia, and particularly Thailand, which bounced back quite strongly following its political fright. The Philippines were an exception, and they were weaker. Japan just about unchanged. China just about unchanged. The European stock markets closed with some pretty good gains, the top one being Italy, up over 2%. The Americas all closed in the plus column, but these are small gains, although the S&P 500 was up 9.65 points, or 0.81%. Now, long-dated government bonds, slightly firmer among bond prices in the U.S., slightly weaker in Europe. The U.S. dollar was mixed, but clearly weaker against the resources currencies, and the resources had a good day. Palladium in particular, that hit a new high in the precious metals, and that has so often been the leader. Platinum strong, gold and silver were more subdued, but gold is up $3.25 at $11.39 as I speak. And what else to mention? The industrial metals, nickel was a strong performer. They were all higher in here today, I believe. And crude oil bounced a dollar, $84.20 as I speak. And the agricultural commodities were mostly stronger as well. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, stock markets had a big fright on Friday with the SEC move against Goldman Sachs. That caused quite a sharp downward dynamic, as you know. People have also been fretting over the ongoing Greek problems. And those yields rose again today, by the way, the Greek 10-year bonds. And they have also been concerned about the unprecedented disruption to European air flights, and this is extended beyond Europe, of course, in terms of the inconvenience caused with people stranded all over the globe. So there was much to worry investors at a time when we'd seen, what was it, 9 or 10 straight weeks of a good rally, which had pushed markets up to overbought levels. Now, we have not seen any follow-through to the downside following those dynamics on Friday. And that's an encouraging sign. As Owen had said in his audio, it certainly indicates that we're not going to see any one-way traffic in terms of a route in stock markets, or at least not anytime soon. And that's, I think, good news in terms of some stability. I think it's too soon to say that we have avoided a reaction and consolidation here, or even the possibility of a correction back towards the rising 200-day moving average. My view is that the downside risk is limited to another one of those mean reversion corrections towards the 200-day moving average. If it were to occur sooner rather than later, and frankly, if it occurred over the near term, that would be sooner than I had been expecting it, but events can, of course, bring that timing forward somewhat. That's, in my view, that's the extent of the downside risk, because most of the factors remain bullish. Monetary policy is accommodative generally. We don't have any real overheating in the commodity markets. We do not have any problem with long-dated government bond yields. I would also say we don't have a currency crisis. The countries and regions that need a soft currency have it. That's the UK, and that's continental Europe. The dollar is firmer, but from a very, very depressed level previously. So that's all okay. This is an environment that I think is still benign as far as equities are concerned generally. But they were becoming somewhat overstretched relative to those 200-day moving averages. The consecutive move upwards, as I said, 9 or 10 weeks, really was a setup for some sort of reaction and consolidation. And I think there's a good chance that we will see that. But in a best-case scenario for the stronger markets, it may just be sideways to higher. Once again, and I don't think this is an environment in which we need to be extremely worried about a major correction. Now, what could go wrong? I mean, things can always go wrong, as we saw really towards the end of last week. We could have the SEC move against Goldman Sachs spread. Certainly, a rumor and innuendo has already started regarding other investment banks. So that could be a problem for the sector. But of course, as Owen has been at length to point out, not all banks are tarred by the same brush. And banks that are not involved with the SEC in terms of charges or possible charges, are certainly making money, and the share performances have been pretty good overall, and that may well continue because the environment is favorable in terms of bank. The economic environment is favorable in terms of banks making money. Now, Fuller Money themes remain firm in here. The U.S. performance has been robust so far this year. It's one of the higher performers when we net things out and view global stock markets in dollars. For instance, the NASDAQ Composite Index is up just over 10% in U.S. dollars so far this year. Now, when I look at my Bloomberg screen, the only market that actually tops it, there are two. Mexico, up 12.63% in dollars. And in Europe, Sweden, up 11.08%. But the U.S. market is obviously the most important one there. And the leash effect remains positive generally. But usually when you see a downward dynamic, such as we saw on Friday, if that doesn't mark the beginning of a reaction and consolidation, it usually forewarns of one to follow before too long. The bottom line here is that technically it would be healthier for markets to pause and consolidate sooner rather than later. The alternative being, if they were to continue to push higher at the same rate, then we would get extremely overextended, and the risk of a much sharper reaction would obviously increase. Okay, what else to mention here? Precious metals. Disappointing to see the gold flop back at a time when it looked like it might be consolidating near that $1,150, just above that $1,150 region. So it's still range-bound here overall. But the strength of palladium and platinum, and I've emphasized that palladium is the leader of this current medium-term cycle to the upside, they suggest that we're going to see further strength in the gold and silver markets as well. Now, again, industrial metals quite firm overall. There's a lot of concern over China, nothing new in all that, is there? But its economy is booming against the background of all this bubble talk. Certainly China is moving to curb speculation in its property market. And that's the one area of China where you could say that we do have bubble conditions. Personally, I find it encouraging that the authorities in China continue to move to head off or to reduce property speculation. I prefer that to the comments that we got from Alan Greenspan in the 1990s, saying that it was extremely difficult to identify bubbles until after the event. I'm reassured, put it that way, by the overall policy management in China, but there's no doubt about it that on a short-term basis, if the government is tightening monetary policy to tackle overheating in the property market as it is, represents a headwind for the stock market. For the stock market generally. Now, to me, that creates a buying opportunity. For others, they see that as a sign that China should be avoided. Really, back your own intuitive feeling on that question. And actually, that's not a bad idea to do most of the time. We look at the fundamentals, we look at the charts, and then we make up our own mind, and your guess is as good as anyone's. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.